join with me as we proclaim our faith together with this Celtic affirmation of faith. We believe in God above us, maker and sustainer of all life, of sun and moon, of water and earth, of male and female. We believe in God beside us, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, born of a woman, servant of the poor, tortured and nailed to a tree, a man of sorrows, he died forsaken. He descended into the earth, to the place of death. On the third day, he rose from the tomb. He ascended into heaven to be everywhere present, and his kingdom will come on earth. We believe in God within us, the Holy Spirit of Pentecostal fire, life-giving breath of the church, Spirit of healing and forgiveness, source of resurrection and of eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. Today, our mission box goes to support Trinity Seminary Scholarship. Seminary is an amazing experience. I went to seminary for 4 years, and it was academically rigorous. It was a lot of fun, and it was tough. It was a lot of formational stuff that really formed me as a minister. So, it's the coolest thing ever that y'all support seminarians that come out of this congregation. That support from the local church is a game changer. So, we have a video with Megan Williams, one of our own, who just last week was accepted into seminary. So, here's a video. Yeah! So, here's a video to explain this mission box.
Hi, my name is Megan. I am married to my best friend, Danny, and we have three children, Jameson, Morgan, and Rowan. Danny works with Gainesville Fire Rescue, and he also teaches in the EMS program at Santa Fe College. We got connected to Trinity United Methodist Church in the summer of 2016, and it was at that time that I really felt supported in going deeper in my faith, going deeper in my relationship with God, and recognizing and understanding and feeling validated that God was calling me to be a leader in church and in ministry. So understanding my call to ministry is an ongoing process. We are all called as disciples of Christ to be involved in ministry. Understanding what I feel God is calling me to explore and to pursue in ordained ministry is also an ongoing process. I applied to Isla School of Theology in Denver, Colorado to pursue a Master of Divinity. That is a 3-year program that sets seminary students up for the roles of deacon or elder, especially in the United Methodist Church. Trinity Scholarship Fund is a huge blessing to our family and to Trinity Seminary students. We feel that this is what God is calling us to do, and we are being faithful to God's calling in our lives, not just in my ministry and in my responding to God, but also this affects our family because we have 3 young children and everything we do affects us as a family unit. Having Trinity's support, both spiritually and the ways that Trinity supports this journey financially, is a huge blessing for us and for our family. And we're really grateful that Trinity is in that space with us.
Pray. Please remember these who are in the hospital and in specialized care. We begin with a few moments of silent meditation. gracious God, as we gather today, we offer our thanks and praise for all your gifts, all the common things of life that add so much depth. The sight of the sunrise or the sunset and the colorful blooming of spring. The sight of tiny particles through a microscope and of a whole galaxy through a telescope. Birds singing in the fresh morning air and the sound of laughter. Smells of baking bread, hot coffee, lilacs. Taste of sweet corn, mashed potatoes, whole beans, baby back ribs. The touch of textures, the hug of a warm greeting, the kiss of love. And then there are those feelings of sadness and joy, failure and success, anger and peace, or in the flu and health. We thank you for ideas and facts that describe the old and make the possible the new. All these are ordinary things that we experience every day, yet extraordinary gifts that give life depth and meaning. All these things you made possible, and everyone points to your presence, yet we take them for granted every day. Yet even these miraculous things pale in comparison to your love, your compassion, your mercy and forgiveness, and the power of your Spirit to transform a person into a disciple of Christ. Forgive us for believing that you don't care about us, or that you've abandoned us in the midst of disappointment or pain or tragedy. Forgive us for wondering where you are when life goes sideways and evil seems overwhelming. We praise you for the gift of your Spirit who guides us, comforts us, hears our prayers, and heals our mind, our body, our emotions, and our soul. Indeed, Lord, we need more than anything to learn how to listen to you every day, and how also to pray. And so we thank you for teaching us how to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all of me, take everything. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray. Thank you.
prepare to offer our tithes and gifts, let us pray. Oh, Creator God, you took the common things of life, water and dirt and tissue and minerals, and molded them into something unique and special called human beings. And even then, you gave them other capacities and called them to be stewards of everything you've done. And out of gratitude, we come today to offer you some common things of our life, these gifts, for the use of your ministry. So we pray that you would consecrate them to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Excellent. You did it this time. All right. My name is Sage Backus, and today, Sunlight will be singing the song Happiness by the band Need to Breathe. Lead singer and songwriter Bear Reinhart reflected on the inspiration for the song, saying happiness, after all, is clearly a fleeting thing, but purpose is what brings real joy. This song in my life has shown me that the people who really do love you want you to pursue your passions and the things that God wants you to do. By pursuing his passions for the glory of God, his happiness is abundant. The line in the chorus, I'm asking you to show me some forgiveness. It's all for you in my pursuit of happiness. Directly echoes Psalm 37, 4 through 6. It says, seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him. And he will help you. He will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. We all should strive to keep God as the focus and source of our happiness. And today is Sunlight Youth Choir Day.
Happiness, happiness, happiness.
work with these awesome teenagers every day.
Yeah, thank you. I do. Thank y'all.
Our scripture for today comes from Psalm 42. So hear now with me the word of our God. Just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? My tears have been my food both day and night, as people constantly question me, where's your God now? But I remember these things as I bear my soul, how I made my way to the mighty one's abode, to God's own house, with joyous shouts and thanksgiving songs, a huge crowd celebrating the festival. Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God. Because I will again give him thanks, my saving presence and my God. My whole being is depressed. That's why I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Miser. Deep called to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your massive waves surged over me. By day, the Lord commands his faithful love. By night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my solid rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I have to walk around sad, oppressed by enemies? With my bones crushed, my foes make fun of me, constantly questioning me. Where's your God now? Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God, because I will again give him thanks, my saving presence, and my God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I am so excited to be here with y'all today, to be sharing a word from God with you on this first Sunday of Lent.
Yeah!
During Lent, we take time to intentionally reflect and prepare ourselves for Easter. I'm not talking about buying candy, you know, the best candy of the year, Easter candy, or buying pretty Easter dresses. That's not the kind of preparations we're doing. We're taking time to prepare ourselves deeply by reflecting on the state of our souls, confronting the areas of our lives where we need to be connecting more with God, and then doing something intentional to change ourselves into more connected people. Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday this week, we had a really cool day here at Trinity, and we kicked off Lent in style. We got here at 7 a.m., and it was a whopping 32 degrees outside, and we set up stations where Catherine and Steve were out there praying for cars that drove up. They prayed for these people, and they gave imposition of ashes. We had signs out of the road saying, get your ash in here. Thank you. And we saw, pretty fun, and we saw 50 people come in and start their Lent and start their day with prayer. Then that night, we came here, and there were about 300 of us that gathered, and we worshiped in the round, and we sang songs, we heard scripture, and we intentionally turned ourselves towards Jesus during this season. So, we're now in the third of Lent. Personally, I love this season because it's during this time that I somehow find a way to somewhat discipline myself for 40 days. The pattern of fasting and devoting myself to prayer speaks to my soul and my routine, which sometimes seems chaotic. The last few years, I've been fasting from things in my life that work to disconnect me from God and from others. A few years ago, I fasted from celebrity gossip. I know it's silly. It's really a silly one. But think about how many TV shows, radio shows, podcasts, news articles, Facebook stories, any kind of social media stories, spend a lot of time looking at the lives of celebrities who are very removed from our lives, but who seem to really care, right? So much of our entertainment industry is really concerned with what celebrities is dating or broke up with or has a beef with or is having a baby with some other celebrity.
in a world that seems very far away from ours. If you looked at my life before this fast, you would think I really cared about Cardassians. I mean, I love them as children of God, but, like, they don't affect my life. But if you looked at the way that I spent my time, you would think that they were my best friends. But I spend a good amount of time caring about things that didn't glorify God and that took away a lot of my time that I could be used for other stuff. So that year, I gave up watching the shows and listening to the podcast and caring about the crazy lives of these celebrities that I thought had extraordinary lives in comparison to mine. Once I forced myself to disconnect from the drama, I had so much extra time to devote myself to the mission that God had actually placed in front of me. So 2 years ago, I fasted from something else. I fasted from reading the comment sections on social media, which again, makes sense, silly. Really, how much time do we spend reading the comment sections on Facebook and Instagram? Turns out it's a lot of time, because this one was really difficult for me. The days that I was successful in not reading the comment sections on Facebook, I felt a weight being lifted off of me. I didn't feel that burning rage inside of me when I see those really hateful comments that people put out there into the world. And I have to admit that I failed at this one I failed a lot. Because it's hard to not click that button that says, read more. It was hard. It was hard to connect myself with what was positive and life-giving. But what I learned from all of these Lenten fasts was that first, apparently I really love the drama. I really love to know what drama's going on around me. I'm working on that. But I also realized that once I could disconnect from the drama, I was just like the psalmist in our reading today. I have a soul that is similarly desperately thirsty for God all the time, not just during Lent, but daily. I long to find God in my life. When I disconnected from the drama, I recognized a deep need for God that I had been trying to satisfy with others. If we dig into our scripture today, we see someone opening themselves up to God in a real and profound way, crying out for God to reveal God's self, because what they need is a real and visceral experience with their Lord. This psalm is unique from others that cry out to God, because this psalmist doesn't speak about a sin or a struggle that separated them from God. I can relate with the psalmist, because I feel a constant need for God, not just when times are tough or I've messed up in my life, but every single day. The psalmist does, however, speak of a literal distance that separates them from God, a change in circumstances that's affected how they experience the living God. The psalmist is crying out to God to come into their life now, where they currently reside, in the pattern and the rhythm of their everyday. They cry out for hope in God to reveal God's self, even in the midst of their sadness and separation. Whenever I hear this psalm, my heart responds with a simple, me too. I long to find God in the everyday ordinariness of my life. I used to push back on this idea of ordinary, of living an ordinary life. Some Westerners people would say that that's because I'm a millennial, and, you know, I was told how great I am my whole adolescence. And to them, I would say, that's a sermon for another day, and I am special, just like y'all, and that is nothing to be ashamed of. But I used to push back on the side of ordinary being good, because when we look through Scripture and all the ways God interacts with His people, it's very often in big and extraordinary ways. God called Moses by speaking to him through the burning bush. Jesus walks on the literal water toward Peter. And the Holy Spirit comes to the early church with tongues of flame. For much of my life of faith, I thought that if God was going to move, it was going to be in big and extraordinary ways. So I always wanted to live an unconventional, extraordinary life. I convinced myself that conventional equals boring, and who wants to be boring? So, of course, God was calling me to be unconventional. Looking back now, I see that this idea was flawed. Conventional isn't bad. Ordinary isn't bad. So of course, God calls people to live both conventional and unconventional lives. I didn't have to fit into a certain box to be used fully by God. The idea that I needed to serve God in a remote destination or in a really cool context, that now looks ridiculous to me. Not because those things aren't worthy of God's calling, but because no matter how cool the context or how remote the destination, no matter how unconventional our lives are, as humans, we are people of patterns and of rhythms and ordinariness. And God is present in those patterns and rhythms and routines. We don't have to be in completely unique circumstances to experience God. God interacts with us in the ordinary, everydayness of our lives. We can find God moving in our midst, not just on special occasions or on Sundays as we gather to intentionally worship, but God can meet us in the regularness of our Tuesdays, which we all know is the most ordinary day of the week. The legendary filmmaker Alfred Hitchcock, he said that movies are life with the dull bits cut out. I tend to want a Christian life with the dull bits cut out. Yet, God made us to spend our days in patterns and rhythms, ordinary everydayness, in rest and work and play, taking care of our bodies and our families, our homes and our neighborhoods. All these ordinary parts, they matter to God. So, of course, it's in this ordinariness that we can meet God. Celtic Christianity has long embraced this idea of finding God in the ordinary. They recognize that because God took on flesh in Jesus Christ, we find a celebration of the merging of spirit and matter, and that both are at work to reveal and demonstrate God's presence in this world. Because Jesus is God in the flesh, we know that God has come close, very close. God is speaking to us. God is shaping us here every day. Christ's presence is present here and now. Christ is present not just weekly during the Sacrament of Communion, but every day in all of creation. Last year, I personally took on this practice of finding God in the ordinary. Guess when? During Lent. Last Lent, I found myself in a very different place than any years before. I found myself, for the first time, entering Lent as a mother. My daughter Elena was born in October 2017. Mere months before Lent, and I was such a different person when Lent rolled around. I was full of love, and I was exhausted. I was pulled in a million directions. I was finding joy in new ways, and I've never really felt like I was doing enough for her, or for my job, or for my family. Did anybody else relate? I know that this resounds with many of you, especially mothers. Parenthood is a crazy change in our lives that can sometimes rock us to our core. As I entered into Lent last year, I have to admit that I was rocked to my core. My daughter is the greatest gift that I've ever been given, but in the midst of the change in my life that happened when she entered our world, I was rocked. I had an easy pregnancy with her. I was healthy. I had energy. I had time to get myself ready, which really helped ready to be ready your first baby. But I thought I was ready. I prepared myself in our home. I prepared my work for the changes that would come with this cute little baby. She was born easily, and we were surrounded by family and friends celebrating her entrance into the world. When Elena Sunny Sablin came into our lives, we were filled with a new love and responsibility to protect her that was awesome and completely overwhelming. Here I went some postpartum depression, and my world was rocked by that 9-pound bundle of joy. Thank God for my husband and my mother and some dear friends who helped usher me into this transition of motherhood. The rhythm of my life has changed. The patterns and the routines that I lived before Elena's birth were different. And I didn't know how to find God in that new ordinary. With my life so changed, I had a hard time seeing God. And then came Lent.
I had no time. I had no extra thoughts or pleasures that I could give away because I was, quite frankly, just white-knuckling my way through life. I had a lot more joy and love in my life because of my new little family, but I was at a loss of what I could give to God. So the morning of Ash Wednesday, I was holding Elena and going, I need to give something to God. Lent has been such an amazing practice in my life. I've got to find something. And it dawned on me. I spend a lot of my time feeding my infant. So I looked at that practice of feeding her. And I realized that most of the time, I had a phone in one hand. And I was checking emails. I was trying to catch up on my life. I was interacting with students and parents. I was planning lessons. I was even reading the Bible sometimes. I was planning retreats. That was my lifeline, to try and find some semblance of routine in my life. So I thought, that's something I could give up. So last Lent, I fasted from giving my attention to my phone when I was holding my baby. I was both worried that I couldn't survive without those moments to catch up on my life. I also worried that it wasn't anything that significant that God could use. But it rocked me. That Lenten practice rocked my already rocked world. It was during Lent, as I spent many hours a day holding and feeding my precious baby, that I found God again in my routine. Taking the time to connect with my hungry infant freed me up to see God speaking in my life, to see God nourishing my soul and reminding me that I would make it through this tough part of parenthood, and that my life would find a new rhythm that was rich in the presence of God. You see, within this Lenten fast, that I realized that the ordinary routine that my life had changed into when Elena was born was already a beautiful rhythm that was full of God. I just wasn't tuned in to see it. God was there all along. God was holding me together and sustaining me even though I couldn't see him. God was there in my new ordinary. And I know that I'm not unique in this revelation. I'm not the only one that God is present with in the ordinary. God is moving in the routines of all of our lives. Are we tuned in to see him? Just last night, I was sharing this sermon with my mom, and she told me that last week, on a very mundane trip to the bank, she experienced God. She was at the bank, and she was wondering out loud, as we tend to do, to my dad. She went, I wonder where I can get some people rulers. Pretty normal. And this lady standing next to her was like, well, you can get for two for one at the Dollar Tree. That's great. Well, my mom is like the poster child for extroversion, and so she, of course, tells the lady why she needs lots of cheap rulers. And she shared about this ministry that we have in Honduras where we teach women there jewelry making skills. We take supplies for them and we help them make a product and then we sell it for them and give all the profits back to them. And through this whole story, the woman that my mom was speaking with was thinking, yes, I knew I was supposed to be here today. I was just talking to my husband yesterday that I need to start doing missions. And so they talked and they talked, and that woman's going to Honduras this summer with my mom. God was there in the line at the bank. How cool is that? We just have to open our eyes to see it. God is with us during big life changes. He's with us as we enter parenthood. He's with us as we go to college and as we retire and as we change jobs. God is there for those big life changes. God is also with us when our routine stays the same. We're reminded this in the Gospel of Matthew that if we seek the Lord, we're going to find the Lord. But the question is, are we taking the time to disconnect from what keeps us from tuning in and experiencing God? So today, may we look at our lives and may we look at the patterns and the rhythms that they take. And may we work to tune in and look for God in our midst. May we, like the psalmist, cry out of our soul's deep thirst for God. And may we find that God is already working in the midst of our everyday, ordinary lives. Thanks be to God.
use the common, ordinary things of the life around him, things that people use. He talked about mustard seed. He talked about wheat in the midst of tares. He talked about fig trees and the speck in one's eye. He talked about the lost coin and the lost son, the lost sheep. He talked about the laborers in the vineyard. He used all of these common experiences and things of life to convey his teaching to help people connect with God. So it's no secret, or no surprise, rather, that when he has his last meal with his disciples, he takes the most common things of everyday meal, even though it was a special Passover meal. He took the bread. He offered it to God and blessed it. Broke it and turned to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is given to you. Eat it as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. He offered it to God and blessed it and turned to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And with that, he gave us common things with which to remember our connection with him and our commitment to God and our calling to follow him. So today, O God, we pray that you would make this bread and this juice be your body and blood for us, that we might be redeemed and be your continual presence in the world today, until you come again in final victory and we feast with you at the heavenly banquet. This we pray in your glorious and gracious name. Those who are going to serve today, please come and receive your elements. And as they come, communion in the United Methodist Church is open to everyone. There are no restrictions. You don't have to be a member of the Methodist Church or of Trinity. Just your desire to come. We ask that you exit your section by the left side and return by the right. Be a pair of servers in front of your section. The gifts of God are given for the people of God.
Fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are formed. With the vapor of your breath, the planet, the stars today to worship so. Thank you. so will I.
Oh, gracious God, such a remarkable gift of love that sustains and strengthens us. For this we praise you, we thank you, and we offer you ourselves. In Jesus' name.
So let's stand and sing our last tune. This is My Father's World, which I feel is just a laundry list of things about all of the ordinary things that God created and how great they actually are.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas.
About next week. We're going to have one service together as one church. And what time is that going to be? 9:30. Y'all are awesome. Now, as we leave this place, may we open our eyes to our God who is in our midst, moving and rocking this world. May we all leave with the peace of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.